relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Can I vent? Haven't I done so already today? Can I vent again? I think so. We had a great time in studio with Mike Duran yesterday. He was on the form, a man who's usually so composed, kind of let his hair down a little bit. If you haven't seen Mike Duran's three segments with us, go after the show, go to Rumble, check it out, rumble.com/SEBGORKA. It's a free subscription. It's all the videos from the show, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. And we talked about the swamp, not just the politicians and the deep state, but also the think tankers, the so-called experts, and perhaps the worst example of them is somebody who is the president of CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, a man called Richard Haass, whose reaction to the events of the last few days with people like our friend Ambassador Friedman in the bomb shelter with his three-year-old grandson in Jerusalem. Well, what's the response from somebody who's a president of the Council on Foreign Relations, a real expert? Cut three.
The most violent, the biggest, is the one between Israel and Gaza. And there you have massive amounts of rocket attacks, Israeli retaliation. The question there, it's not a diplomatic question so much as whether deterrence can be reestablished. It lasted for 6 or 7 years. So there's that. Then you've got the question of what goes on in Jerusalem, this resettlement of neighborhood, taking of buildings, the use of armed force inside of this, inside of mosques. The question there is simply whether we can pull back from the brink. I think Israeli forces need to show greater professionalism there.
Excuse me? The Israelis need to show greater professionalism. So the Palestinians are raining rockets down on the civilian population of Israel. But it's the Israeli forces who need to show more professionalism by doing what, Richard Haass? Laying down their weapons so they can be exterminated, which is the dream of groups like Hamas? I rarely resort to words like hate. But people like that, I get close. I get really, really close. Who do you think you are sitting in your swanky office on your overstuffed chair lecturing a people who have almost been exterminated that they're the ones who need to be more professional? You don't represent anybody in America, Richard Haass. And you're the reason we elected Donald Trump. And as far as I'm concerned, you're the reason we're going to elect him again. Because I give it more than an 85% probability that he's going to run. And we're going to drain the swamp for good this time. All right, let's have some fun. Let's unwind. Do you remember that? Do you remember? Is Liz Warren? I wonder, are these people really robots? Do you remember the beer ad? I'm gonna go get me a beer. Would you like a beer? There's not something to top that. But let's just remind ourselves about who these politicians are. Eric, do us the injustice of playing that video.
Hey, Robert, my husband Bruce is now in here. You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Come on, say hello to folks.
Yes.
So, this is my sweetie.
Hello.
I'm crazy.
You are. Yeah. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here. Yeah.
Enjoy your beer.
That was so natural. Wasn't that just the kind of Americana? That was really made me feel good inside. Well, there's somebody who thought he could do a little bit better, even be more genuine. A man who, I doubt if he's ever had a cheeseburger, but he thinks he can bribe you with a cheeseburger and some fries. This is the mayor of New York, whose name isn't de Blasio, because he's just a fraud through and through. Cut 13.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this? Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger?
No.
This could be breakfast?
Good to go.
Okay. I want you to look at this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination.
There's a burger element to this. How do they come up? I mean, that screams to me F-150. No, that screams to me Ford Raptor when you say, there's a burger element to this deal. I mean, I know I'm an immigrant, but that makes me think you are really American, Mr. Warren Wilhelm Jr. Okay, for the record, I looked it up. This guy's real name, just so, you know, he wanted to get those votes in New York from the Italians, de Blasio. No. Wilhelm is his real name. But there's fries. So you'll get vaccinated, right? What can I wanted to go and calls and stuff, but guys, jump in here. Shad.
I just have expected him to go, oh, there's a rotisserie chicken element. Oh. just gonna hear it. It's the mouth noise. He's just like, how does he think that's gonna help?
There's a milkshake element.
Oh.
A milkshake element. Eric, were you convinced? Are you gonna get vaccinated now? Because there's fries.
I almost want to never have a burger or fries again after watching that.
I know it's kind of scary, but even the fries and the burger look fake. They were in unmarked packet. How do you buy burgers in them? I wonder, where can you buy burgers without packaging that says where they come from? It's got to be a prop. It's got to be foam. All right, let's go to the man himself, Mr. G. Was that real? Did you make that for me? Is that artificial?
I liked it, but what also bothered me about it is
you're perverse.
The liberals can't bring up anything without having to apologize. I know some people don't like cheeseburgers.
Yes!
That's like when you talk about cigars, you go, oh, I know some of you guys don't like cigars. I know some people have had nicotine addiction before. Some people prefer cigarettes, but, you know, I did have a cigar last night. No, you said I have a cigar last night. Everything they have to apologize for.
And did you hear the way he said it? He said, and we respect all forms of life. What do you mean? Eating burgers is a form of life? Like what? Amoeba? It's some kind of special version of zoology? All forms of life, including those who eat cheeseburgers.
That was the plant burger from Burger King.
That's what I was thinking. If they wanted to really make that point, he should have eaten one of the vegan burgers.
Guys, that was delicious.
Well, anyone
disturbing.
Anyone that eats vegan burgers has already gotten the vaccine, so that's not.
Well, we know that. I mean, we know that. And anybody who doesn't like cigars clearly has got the vaccine already. Let's go to Dale. Let's squeeze in a call. Dale in Detroit, line 5.
Hey, Dr. G.
Hey, are you the form of life that likes cheeseburgers? I need to know.
Oh, I love cheeseburgers.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fire away.
Hey, You, if I got time, I got a Trump 2024 question.
You got
for
2 minutes. You got to be quick, buddy.
Okay. My first comment was you were talking about Elon Musk not accepting Bitcoins anymore because they're mined using electricity that is run by coal. But isn't his cars run by electricity? That
Dale,
comes from
that's
coal?
What I said. That's the whole point, Dale.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. quick question about Trump.
Yes.
2024. And I'm serious about this. Hear me out. I think Trump should run as the vice president.
Maybe now I've heard this stupid idea.
No. Hear me out. I got three really good reasons. First of all, apparently it's the vice president that handles the borders. Apparently. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But that's
not for the last 3 months it isn't, but carry on.
Okay. The second thing is, you know, he kind of has already done everything he said he was. Most everything he said he was going to do, he's already done. So, you know, he doesn't need to be. But the third thing is, I would pay to see him preside over the Senate. I would love to see that. He would be there every single minute. He wouldn't be, like, handing it off to somebody else.
I think, look, it would be good for the giggles for about 15 minutes. But as it is, the vice president doesn't preside over the Senate unless there's extraordinary circumstances. But I get the kind of thing. It's like those who say he should run for the seat from Florida. Dude, he was president. You don't go backward from president. You don't run for the local school board. And to be honest, he hasn't accomplished everything we need to accomplish. The swamp is deep and it's wide, and we're gonna crush it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. But don't listen to me. Listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. That should be you. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack. Just call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Man standing between the radical left and your cheeseburgers. It's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I could do the cheeseburger right now. Maybe later. It's never a wrong time to eat a cheeseburger. Not in America. We are live streaming. We're across the nation, hundreds of stations, millions of listeners. But don't forget, YouTube may be a bunch of fascists, but we are on Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Don't miss a minute of the show. Catch these segments that you want to see again, rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Okay. This modern age of communication is really, it's awful in some respects. Yeah, social media. In other respects, it's really quite incredible, especially the things you get access to and the things people post. We have a video that I need to share with you from Maryland County, from the state of Maryland, that was shown to county-specific employees, that is funded by the people of the state of Maryland, and really explains how bad the situation is in terms of the racist influence within government at every level. Listen to what this woman says, who is training state employees with regards to the police in America. Pay close attention. Cut 14.
Enact violence against those who violated those laws, but then also you have police enforcement generating from that sort of potential for crossing, you know, lines of you know, equality, separation, but equality. And so that is why today something that I'm frequently asked is, you know, there are good cops and there are bad cops, right? So people will say, you know, not all cops are bad, you know, even though there are some bad apples. But you have to look at the institution more generally. You rarely, if ever, hear someone say, well, there were probably good Nazis, right? Like, there were good Nazis, even though there were a lot of bad Nazis, right? Because we can accept that the entire institution of Nazism, the entire Nazi regime, was bad, right? And so there's no way for you to be a co-conspirator or to exist in such a way that you stand by or that you stand silent when certain acts of gratuitous violence are waged against Jewish prisoners, or in such a way that you exist within the organization, right, whether you're taking action or not, right? Joining the ranks in and of itself is seen as a heinous and terrible thing.
So police in America are like Nazis, and this is being paid for as training to state employees. Thank you to the person who posted that. And the more you do, the sooner we take our republic back. Somebody who is doing so by running personally for a position that has a lot to do with law enforcement. He is in Minnesota. He wants to be the Attorney General. And we welcome him to America First, Doug Wardlow. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Gorka. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Just, I know it's another state, but your reaction to what you just heard, the idea that all police officers should be compared to the Nazis of the Third Reich.
What an awful and morally reprehensible comparison to make. It's just astounding. And it just goes to show you how terrible this critical race theory nonsense really is and how dangerous it is. And you know, political leaders like Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota that I'm running against, they're pushing this nonsense, and they put it ahead of law and order and the safety of our families and communities. And it's really quite awful. You know, so this race here in Minnesota for state attorney general, you know, it's about restoring law and order here in the state, but it's about so much more than that. It's about law and order in general. It's about American exceptionalism. It's really about whether Minnesotans and Americans will rally to the cause of liberty and the rule of law or cede control of our great country to those who wish to, you know, destabilize its foundations and fundamentally transform it into something that's dark and unrecognizable. That's really what this is all about. And that's what Keith Ellison wants to do. And we just can't have extremists like Keith Ellison in top law and order positions.
Well, you broached that that point, and we don't rehearse. We don't give approval to our guests. We don't tell them what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to ask the real question that I think affects your chances as the person who's running to replace Keith Ellison. How on earth does, I don't care what state it is, I don't care whether it's California or, you know, nutty people in Massachusetts, how does a person like Keith Ellison, who proudly posts pictures of himself with the Antifa handbook, who clearly has deep, deep radical anti-American views, how does a person like Keith Ellison even become the Attorney General, Doug?
Well, it was a very narrow race last time around. I ran against him in 2018, lost by about 3.5%. It was a very difficult year for Republicans, of course. But what the Democrats do, what Keith Ellison did, is he lied. They spent a lot of money on lies. And then he gets into office, and we see the truth. And people are waking up here in Minnesota and across the country to the fact that Keith Ellison really is radical and really is quite terrible. I mean, just look at what he's been doing or what he hasn't been doing. Minneapolis, of course, burned last summer, and Keith Ellison stood by and did nothing. And then just several weeks ago, again, in another Minneapolis suburb, we had riots breaking out, and Keith Ellison did basically nothing. Worse, his rhetoric and his actions, they encourage further lawlessness. You know, he's always pushing this critical race theory nonsense. He's always talking about, you know, after the Derek Chauvin verdict came down, he went out to the cameras and he said that the verdict was not justice, was just accountability, and that we needed further systemic and endemic enduring societal transformation in order to really have justice. So Keith Ellison doesn't look at justice based on the, you know, specifics of the case and the evidence in the case and whether the individual is guilty or not. He doesn't care about due process. He sees trials in the justice system as just pieces in a larger, broader political and social agenda, a campaign that he is running out of the Attorney General's office, abusing the power of that office and trying to transform and weaken America. So I think Minnesotans are waking up to that, and the country is waking up to what the radical left and its leaders like Keith Ellison are doing. And people are aware, that Keith Ellison, look at his associations.
Yeah.
Close ties to Louis Farrakhan, disgraceful anti-Semite, and Ilhan Omar, one of his closest allies.
His name is Doug Wardlaw, W-A-R-D-L-O-W. In the last minute we have with you, Doug, tell us what's special about what you wish to do as the Attorney General. What differentiates you from everything we're seeing across the nation in Democrat strongholds?
Well, absolutely. Unlike Keith Ellison, who wants to divide Americans and weaken our country, I'm going to stand up for all Minnesotans and all Americans. I understand that America is an exceptional place, and our system of law and justice really is the model and the standard for the world, and we want and we need elected leaders who are going to fight for America and not against America. And I'm going to fight for America. I'm going to identify and prosecute those who are involved in riots and fomenting unrest, ensure that ringleaders that are behind the unrest here in our state are brought to justice. People that are involved with domestic terror groups like Antifa are brought to justice. Train law enforcement, support law enforcement, make sure our prosecutors have all the resources that they need to get criminals off the streets and behind bars, restore law and order, and stand up for American law and order and liberty. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Find out.
Win this day in 2022.
Find out more about him. DougWardlowAG.com. That's Doug Wardlow, WARDLOWAG.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Next, the editor-in-chief of Breitbart.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
This stinking town, more than 50% of what you do is packaging. That's just a sad fact. No matter how good you are, you got to be able to sell it, put a bow on it. And titles matter. I don't mean the titles on your business card, but titles for products like books. And I'm a little jelly in a millennial way. Because this book I have in my hand, embargoed. Don't you dare walk out of this studio, you naughty book, until Monday. Because you're not allowed to. It's called Breaking the News. And of course, who wrote it? The man, employee number one at the Breitbart Empire, which has broken the legacy news. Over this way. There you go. He is none other than Alex Marlowe. Alex, welcome in studio.
Dr. G, it's such a pleasure to be with you under any circumstances, but particularly when I get that sort of endorsement. It makes me feel very good.
Where are the little handcuffs? We need a little leg chain so this thing doesn't leave here till Monday because it's embargoed, right?
It is embargoed, yeah.
Am I allowed to open it up before Monday?
I would love it if you were fully briefed on it by Monday, but I'm holding back some stories because I really do believe that when people see some of the bombshells, it is going to completely change the way they look at the American media landscape. I think people are going to freak out in the upper echelons of America's media establishment. And I'm not a braggart, and I'm not. It's very uncomfortable to pitch stuff for me. I love the content. I love the news. I love the analysis. I don't like the pitch stuff, but I really do believe that if you read this, you will think differently. And especially if you are someone at the tip top of American media corporation.
He doesn't like the pitching stuff.
I don't.
Says the man who has a cartoon version of himself on his social media bio. Don't believe him for a second. He's getting there. He's following, in the footsteps of other people who he looks up to, who don't yet have a cartoon version of themselves, but would like to. Brett Smith, are you paying attention?
He's good.
Email. I want to see those pictures. I know you don't have to go all Conan the Barbarian on me, but something cool, something cool. Okay. Yes.
Can I sign it for you?
Yes. Oh, on live radio. Let's
do it. First live
all
signing.
Right. Is this the first live signing?
The first live signing.
Is this your first book?
This is the first book I published. Yes.
So
this is going to be, I've written six, but they only let me publish the one that's
apocryphal gospels of some sort that are just hidden in some piece of some cave somewhere off the Dead Sea, probably.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to write a book just to write a book. And I've been very blessed in my life to have a lot of great mentorship and experience and working with super cool people like you and Steve Bannon, Andrew Breitbart,
Larry Elder,
the original. And I've made such great friends with so many people like Charlie and Dennis and almost your whole slate on Salem. But it is, I didn't want to write just a memoir. And there's a small amount of memoir in this, but for the vast majority of it is new information based off of deep dive research into our corporate media establishment, Dr. G. And I think this will really resonate with you. The American Media Corporation is trying to stamp out the American individual, that concept of freedom, the rugged individualist, and trying to make us all corporate cogs who identify more with companies than with countries or as ourselves. And how much worse would the world be if we lost that concept of individuality? That is the design of our American media class right now. And I think I prove it in the book. And that includes subservience to China.
You're waxing philosophical already. I am impressed.
These are big ideas.
All right, assign the book while I show everybody. Okay. Not that page. What are you doing? The page I gave you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Honestly, he's such a piker when it comes to writing books. There, where the title is with your name. In the meantime, I'm going to show everybody that you need to buy one of these. It is the official Breitbart laptop. I don't know where you buy them, but it looks cool. I need one. It's got a big B on the outside. I'm sure that's not a sticker, but if it is, I need one of those stickers. Okay, Let's start with a little bit about you. We've had long interviews with you. All of them have been deleted by YouTube because we were terminated because they believe in the individual and freedom of speech.
Yes, that's right.
But let's talk about, you mentioned two things. You mentioned Salem. Number one, I was listening on the way in to my buddy Dennis Prager. And I've heard him say it before, but today I guess it's because I was coming in to talk to you. He used one of his classic lines and he said, "Truth is not a left-wing value." And I just kind of, boom, and it hit me. Never a truer word, correct, Alex?
No, it's right on the money. And I break down in the book a lot of the disinformation, as we do at Breitbart and our pals and Newsbusters do as well. But all the disinformation that we saw during the Trump years. And I paint an arc of some of the, I call it the fake news hall of shame, where I go through the top dozen or so stories. And even those of you who read Breitbart and go to listen to your show or my show on Sirius, and you're familiar with how inaccurate the establishment media is. When you see it laid out, you start thinking that these aren't just people who are wrong. These are people who are either conspiratorial or purely agenda driven.
Yes.
And how consistent they are all wrong with the same exact wrong information. And then it culminates in the suppression of true stories about Hunter Biden. Towards the end of the book, I break in that.
Using the word, keep signing, I'll keep talking. Using the phrase or the word inaccurate doesn't reflect the reality, because inaccurate predisposes you to think or gives the inference that there is a desire to be accurate. There is no desire to be accurate. They're all political hacks. The book is Breaking the News, superb title by editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. He's Alex Marlow. He'll be back with us after the break, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Follow him everywhere. If you see a very handsome cartoon version of Alex Marlow, you are on the right social media site, at Alex Marlow, Instagram, Twitter. But most important of all, they are. It's an empirical fact. The most influential conservative website on the planet, Breitbart.com. God bless you, Andrew Breitbart. You are sorely missed, but you've taught us how to take down the bullies, and his team, Alex et al., are doing it every single day. The book it's embargoed. I'm not allowed to open it, but I will at the weekend when nobody's watching. It's called Breaking the News. It is his first book. You've got to read it. You mentioned in our first segment this thing, this philosophical take with regards to the media. It's not just about truth. It's about an attack against the individual and the imposition of a collectivist stance. Let's listen to the proof of this. This is from James O'Keefe, Veritas Project, an inside Twitter meeting with the Rasputin of social media, Jack Dorsey.
You know, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account, and it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks. It's going to go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect.
So Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, thinks he's safe. He's in his safe space talking to his employees on a closed net. Somebody recorded it talking about canceling an account with 89 million followers, my old boss Donald Trump's account. And he said, it's not about this one account, and it's not about this week or this month. Shouldn't this frighten all Americans, Alex?
It absolutely should, because it affects so many Americans. I can't tell you how I've been so reluctant. Unlike you, Dr. G, I don't live for the Twitter fights. I find them to be sort of counterproductive. You've made an art out of it. It's a which I you made an
it's
art
like
of
Sudoku.
War.
I don't do Sudoku. I do Twitter fights.
So you've taken it to the next level. So I always found it kind of unpalatable, but I thought that it was appropriate to start getting more involved and start doing more social media. And you chip away at it, and it's harder to get your first 100,000 followers or so than it is subsequent followers. And I'm trying to drill myself to regularly tweet and do things like that. And then all of a sudden, overnight, they take away 20,000 of my followers that I've been working on for 18 months. And then it makes you think, well, what's the point if they have this level of control? If we have no ownership, all of a sudden I became a Marxist for 5 minutes. I was thinking, I need to own the means of production.
What Tyler has arrived, the peasant's revolt. Right.
Exactly. So it's an absurd thing that we have given so much power to so few people who we don't know who they are. We know the one Rasputin guy who with the weird cadence, Jack Dorsey, who does not live a relatable life to any Americans, that he's in charge of not just the president of the United States' ability to communicate, but normal Americans who are already disenfranchised relative to the super elite in this country. And the fact that so many of them were purged in January of this year and beyond is it's appalling. But what's almost more appalling, in my opinion, is how the Republicans have been incapable of doing anything to push back. They feel totally like it's game on. They've never been more powerful. They've never been more rich. And our country's suffering for it.
Yeah, I think I told you, maybe I hadn't, but after the election, I met with the top cheese at the RNC, and I told him, there's only two things that matter for the future of the party. You have to demonstrably show 73 million Americans that you're doing something about election integrity and about big tech censorship.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly right.
The last 118 days since the inauguration, have you seen evidence of that?
I've seen a little bit state by state on election integrity.
Right.
I've seen nothing.
I'm talking about national GOP efforts.
I've seen nothing on big tech on a national level. We know Josh Hawley's pretty good messaging on it. There is a bill out of Hagerty's office in Tennessee, mm-hmm. which I like very much. I think that is a much more forward thinking than previous iterations. But in general, it's not enough. There needs to be more that's done.
And I'm not doing this to poke a stick at, you know, in his eye, but I'm just going to comment on my own show for a second. We had Hawley on the show last week, and he had a new book.
Sure.
Not this one, but it was about big tech, the one that they tried to cancel. It was, you know, and he said, this is the plan to defeat them. And I said, okay, so give us what is the plan? Tell us. He had no answer. Did you write the book, Senator Hawley? Because if you did, you need to... I'm sorry, it is D.C. You need to work on the elevator pitch. Because if you've got a new book about defeating big tech and you can't tell 3 million people on my show what the plan is, you need to go back to the drawing board. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is the big issue. And again, I'm reluctant to take big swings at people who are at least have their heads mostly in the right spot. But it does become more than just messaging. And it becomes... action. There's plenty of people on social media who are good at messaging. And I do fear for our Congress in this regard, because this was always the House was always like this a little bit. But the Senate, too, now is becoming more of a messaging platform and less of an action platform. And we need those action platforms. That's why the Republican governors are dominating right now. It's because they're actually using the levers of power to get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's very cool.
We'd like to see more Greg Abbotts, more, you know, Ron DeSantis's here in the swamp. The book is Breaking the News, out on Monday. They Order It Now by Alex Marlow. Follow him at Alex Marlow. We've got a minute and a half in this segment. I'm looking at the back of the book. Just give us a little tease, a little taste. You talk about COVID. What is the overlap between COVID and the fake news?
Yeah, and I don't want to get into too many of the details now, because I want people to get the book, and I want to make sure that it is big next week when I start giving the specific details. But I think that the main narrative with the coronavirus is that it went from let's not take it seriously from the establishment media's perspective, because this makes China look bad.
Right.
To, wait a minute, we can message that this is the Trump virus and this is Trump's fault. And now they were all in on it. And they have to remind us of this. And they're going to try to do it all the way to 2022. They're going to try to win another election based off of this myth that it was somehow Donald Trump's responsibility that the Chinese virus came here and that we didn't quash it right away. And that's the overall narrative. And I think I paint that picture pretty persuasively, particularly by contrasting Cuomo and DeSantis and how the media treated both and the results that both men got.
And what about Fauci, who was a disaster in the 1980s when it came to AIDS, and now is lauded by the same media who just seems to forget that this guy's track record is a disaster, Alex?
And his track record, to me, is secondary to what he's done over the last year, which is to appear on 1 billion media appearances, including many of my home movies with my kids. Somehow Fauci got in
magically. There.
Once you start rolling a camera, all of a sudden Fauci shows up, and he's been so inconsistent the whole way through when it comes to the masks and the lockdowns, and even his vaccine messaging is garbage, suggesting that double vaccinated people could still wear masks outside. That's what you tell people if you don't want them for sure to get vaccinated. If he wants people to get vaccinated, say, you get vaccinated, you get your privileges back today. He won't say that because he's a political figure at this point.
Right. And also a science denier as the highest paid federal bureaucrat in America today. Just $413,000 of your money. We're talking to Alex Motto, editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. Bookmark them right now and order. Don't go to Amazon. Get it somewhere else. Get the book, Breaking the News. You need to read it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Are you the healthiest you can be? Do what I do. Dr. Douglas Howard has developed Balance of Nature for those who, you know, most of us really, just don't like vegetables. You know, kale, it's evil. If you don't eat enough fruit and vegetables, do what I do. Take 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, that provide me with 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. All the things your mom wanted you to eat, but you kind of pushed to the other side of the plate. Order today and you'll get 35% off, thanks to Dr. Howard, and free shipping if you use my name. It's literally health in your hand. Call 800-246-8751 or just go to balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. That's 800-246-8751. balanceofnature.com, promo G-O-R-K-A.
Number one is, I think it's become clearer that fairness is overrated. Whoa, before you run off and tweet that headline, let me explain a bit. The idea that we should always give two sides equal weight and merit does not reflect the world we find ourselves in.
Lester Holt saying, who needs fairness? Who needs both sides to be represented? How would that have gone down at Breitbart if one of your faces had said that, Alex Marlowe?
I would say that you're not supposed to say this out loud. You're supposed to say that things are always fair. But I'm very grateful Lester Holt said this, because it's so clear this is the case. And maybe there are some people in the media who think that the way CNN has approached things over the last decade or so, where they portray one side and almost exclusively that side, and then act as though they're the most, you know, the fairest of all time, whatever they're stupid quotes are that are meaningless, but they're supposed to be the authority on news. Same thing with the New York Times. It's so cooked, and I break down countless examples, literally dozens, if not hundreds, from those outlets in the book that people can pick up. But it is, of course, unfair. The media is weaponized against people like you and me and our audiences, Dr. G. It's been that way for a long time. It's comforting for him to say it, though it also should mean that people need to get involved and start pushing back in a major way.
Are you excited? I know there's throttling. You've talked about what Twitter is doing to people who gain followers and then suddenly lose them. But are you excited that the multiplicity of platforms, podcasting and so forth, whether it's all of these alternative platforms, Substack and so forth, does that give you hope for the future in terms of truth getting out?
I have hope because of exactly what you've described. I think that this is something I was thinking about if I want to do a writing project on this exact topic because I think you're on to something. The power of independent individuals right now is really high. Your platform, what our pal Charlie Kirk's doing, what Candace Owens is doing, what so many of these big names, these individual names, and then some of these great journalists, the Glenn Greenwalds of the world, who's on the left, but he breaks countless stories. These guys are going to Substack and they're creating their own ecosystem. You have to love it. You have to welcome it because there's so much harder to cancel one person with a massive following than a whole outlet that you can just kind of slow down with Facebook algorithms turning them down. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it becomes easy to cancel those people too.
Biggest lesson Andrew Breitbart taught you?
The biggest lesson I would say Andrew Breitbart taught me is that the left does not want to compromise with you. They do not want to meet in the middle. They do not want to coach you up. They want to crush you or convert you 100%.
Listen to this, because this is why it's not the swamp. The swamp is one issue. I'm talking about establishment conservatives who think that if they play the game, the left will actually let them in and will like them. No. They are there to crush you, including you, Liz Cheney. We're talking to the editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com, employee number one, a man who is breaking the news every single day in more ways than one, and his new book is titled Breaking the News. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And now more than ever, because they want to provoke you,
stay frosty.